From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of August, 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program, we'll check in with Brian Grady. He's on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour and traveling through parts of Iowa today. And then we'll discuss Minnesota and conditions there. They've been wet and remain that way. We'll hear more about that from Sherman Newland with Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. He's in Blue Earth County, or at least was, when we talked with him over the noon hour. You can hear that discussion and what he thinks a large part of northwestern Iowa and southern Minnesota will look like by the time we get to that September USDA crop production report. It's good stuff. Stay with us right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world from WILL.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now to see how we can assess today's trade in Chicago. We'll do that with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd. Glad to be with you.
So let's talk about the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We follow it each and every year. It has an impact in Chicago. It tends to be short-lived because there is a USDA report coming up in September, which will give us another crop production set of numbers and change things altogether, potentially. But this sometimes gives us a lean in the market. I think I'll call it that way. What do you think of this tour? And I guess maybe, as you and I talked ahead of time, it's important to note that they go through the heaviest producing counties in the nation, but it's not a complete survey by any means.
Yeah, and I think I haven't studied the weather map that detailed this summer, but I think a lot of the problem areas are probably outside of the area that they're surveying. I think they hit some of the areas, but I think the larger portions, and in order to get a big record crop like forecast this year, you have to have the fringe areas pushing those high-end yields too. And that is something that we just don't know based upon the Pro Farmer Tour. Pro Farmer Tour is an excellent tour. I mean, it gives a lot of people some insight. I think, you know, what we basically experienced this week, it kind of confirmed, not necessarily verified, but it did at least lend credence to the fact that maybe USDA's numbers aren't too far off the mark. But again, the September report and the October USDA report is going to be much more important. But, you know, this is the time of year we don't have too much to talk about. You know, once we have the August crop report, it comes out. And then about a week later, then the Pro Farmer Tour comes out. And then we kind of twiddle our thumbs going into Labor Day. And then we kind of wait to see what kind of the early yields are telling us. And I think that's what's going to be more important. And I think the key words, you know, as harvest begins is, are the yields better than last year or are they less than last year? And I think that's going to be the key rather than better than expected or less than expected. Everybody's going to compare it to last year's yield. And if these yields come in, if they're coming in better than last year, well, then that verifies USDA's report. If they start coming in less than last year, then it says that USDA probably reached too high on their numbers. And we're not going to know that until we probably get into well into September, about middle part of September. I think we're going to see a lot of corn harvested, especially in the central part of the growing region. And then we'll kind of go from there. But I think that, and then the thing that complicates the market this time of year, especially if you're producing a big crop, is the carryover from last year's record crop. So, you know, we're kind of getting a double whammy in here. And we've talked about this several times over the past several weeks, especially since we had that meeting down there, Assumption, with Kim Holzapfel, that, you know, there was a lot of old corn to move out. And, you know, there was questions whether or not these elevators were going to be able to get this old crop inventory out in time to make room for a new crop. And I think we're starting to see some of the negative impacts on that. And that's going to show up in widening basis levels. So the basis levels don't look to me like they're going to be very attractive, at least in the early going. They may become more attractive as we get down the road. But we got a lot of old crop to move out, and then we got a big crop, new crop coming in. So that just kind of makes everything kind of down and out this time of year, which is not unusual.
Hey, so I've got a question related to that. And it's about marketing, but I think this one you'll be good with across the board. So if, because we'll probably be in the field early, and there's an awful lot of corn crop left from last year, basis is wide for corn. Are you of the opinion that you might let it stand, even if it started to dry down to the point where you could harvest it easily and wait just a bit for a bottom to come in and for the basis, for both a bottom and a basis pop to come back after maybe they clean out the bins at the grain elevator?
Well, that gets a little tricky because a good windstorm, good rainy windstorm can change things in a hurry. But yes, I think, you know, at this point, you'll have to, you know, each farmer will have to make their own judgment call on what kind of stands they have. But yeah, I think, you know, the way things are growing, as long as we have a less turbulent weather pattern, probably letting the crop dry down as much as it can in the field might be a better strategy. But I know farmers don't like to do that. I mean, they can't stand sitting around waiting, you know.
So, not when it's ready.
No, when it's ready, it's ready. They want to go 2-3 days before it's ready, you know. But yeah, I think patience. Now, I think I haven't seen anything. I haven't been up in Illinois since, you know, early July, but they tell me that the northern crop is still fairly green. And so there's going to be a while before the northern half of the crop is going to be ready. Now, I guess that the crop, you know, like in southern Illinois and southern Indiana, the Ohio River Valley stuff is probably going to be going fairly soon. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that would start going sometime here after Labor Day. It usually does. And then you begin to get some of that stuff in central Illinois. But I think the north is still fairly green yet. So it's going to be a while before the north really gets going full blast. But I do think that lower third of the growing region is probably going to, you know, begin to go probably right after Labor Day.
Hey, I got just 2 minutes left for you. Soybeans, they've been just dropping. And part of that's the Pro Farmer Tour, which yesterday showed some big numbers for pod counts in Illinois. Do you see a bottom here anytime soon?
Well, just looking at the charts, I mean, last week when you were talking to me, we were, you know, we had kind of followed through on the crop report there on Monday, and then the market kind of turned around and started gaining for the week, and we ended up closing higher for the week, which is a strong signal, at least the way I viewed it. That was a test of the August crop report low, and the market reversed and headed higher. Those numbers failed today. Those lows were taken out today. So I think now what technicians are going to look at is actually those reports, those lows that were made right after the August crop report or a week ago Monday, and we'll see what kind of support we get in there. Looking at some of the technical indicators, it would suggest to me that we're probably nearing some kind of short-term low. And then when you take into account the month of August is basically a down month, next week is the last week of August. So I think you'll see some short covering take hold next week. So I think we'll probably, you know, have some kind of bounce here next week, and then we'll see how strong a bounce that is. But like this Pro Farmer report or a crop tour, I mean, I don't think it really told us anything new, but there was nothing else to trade. So the trade traded those big numbers.
We appreciate you taking the time with us. Thanks so much.
Very well.
All right, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium on this Thursday afternoon. Remember, you can hear him again online at WILLAG.org anytime you'd like. That's WILLAG.org. We're joined again this afternoon by Brian Grady. He is on the eastern leg of the Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour, and We talked to him earlier today about the 10 o'clock hour. Brian, thanks for being with us today. Where are you at the moment?
I am in northeast Iowa, so I'm right along Highway 20 right now and across northeast Iowa.
Let's begin, though, with your experience in Illinois and the numbers that were released last night by Pro Farmer. What did they show?
192.6 was the average yield we pulled on samples from the state of Illinois. So that was down significantly from where USDA put it at 207 in August. Now, you know, we aren't out trying to prove or disprove USDA's numbers, but when we're, you know, around a 193 and USDA's at 207, it makes me think that probably USDA's coming down in the state of Illinois when all's said and done.
And your miss historically for Illinois from the USDA number hasn't been that far off, right?
Correct. Now, we missed last year in Illinois by a lot, but historically it's only 1.1 bushels that we missed by, that were too light for the state. So, you know, history says that we get pretty close on that one. You know, honestly, I think that there's a chance that maybe that the number goes up from that what we pulled out of there. But I think USDA is coming down as well for the state of Illinois.
In the discussions you had with the other scouts last night about Illinois, what did they say?
Well, advanced maturity on the crop. So what's there is there. It's not going to add at this point in time, the vast majority of it. You know, the questions are, you know, it got pushed. How much did that hurt, you know, the weight? And what's the, you know, kernel size? Kernel depth, I thought, was decent. I don't know on weight. We don't weigh ears on crop tour. We do pull three sample ears from that one row, and you can tell whether they're heavy or not. And some of the ears are really heavy this year, even being pushed. But some of them aren't, and some feel about right. So I don't think that we can say that it's either going to be a light crop or a heavy crop. Just being pushed as much as it is, I don't think it's heavy. You know, the two really high years in Illinois, 2014, that year it was very consistent across the state. There was hardly any variability. Every field was about the same. We didn't see that this year. Last year was highly, you know, it was variable, but it ended up with a big yield. Typically, when you have the variability in the crop, it's hard to build a big yield. But last year, the highs were enough to more than enough to offset the lows. And as a result, they ended up with what was a record yield there in the state, or the second highest yield in the state. And I think this year with the variability, it's going to struggle probably to be better than last year's Illinois corn crop, in my opinion.
Yeah, so for comparison's sake, last year you said you missed by quite a long ways, and it was a 200-bushel crop by USDA's numbers here, and you were at 180.72 last year, at 192.63 this year, and USDA currently at 207. Now, let's talk a little bit about what you've seen in the state of Iowa so far. This is your second day traveling through that state.
Yeah, and I came across right at Interstate 80 there across the Mississippi River and then into Iowa City. The stuff I saw yesterday was really good along in that that I-80 corridor into Iowa City. This morning I'm heading on a route that happens to be taking me up along 380, and we're also seeing some good stuff in here. Now, this area, I live here in the state, and this area had really good weather. It was down in the southern part of the state that they struggled, hot and dry. And, you know, I had a crop scout at the meeting last night in Iowa City that pulls me some samples independently. And he said that a lot of the stuff he would pull up to the fields and he'd be like, man, you know, maybe I'm hoping for, you know, probably fearful of a 50 on this one and hoping for 100, and he'd come out and it'd be a 120 or 130 or in some cases a 150. So it was better than he anticipated and a lot of those samples in the southern part of Iowa. Now the northwestern portion of the state, north central portion, they struggled with too much moisture. So we've got all kinds of things in Iowa. There's a lot of variability. There's a really, really, really good pocket. And then there's some question marks around it, and we'll see where we end up with when we get all the samples tabulated tonight.
Hey, thanks so much.
All righty.
That's Brian Grady with Pro Farmer. We're now joined by Sherman Newlin. He's on the western leg of the tour and joins us from Minnesota, though I think you started the day in Iowa today. Did you cross the state line, and were you taking samples in Iowa this morning?
We crossed the state line this morning, but we didn't stop until we got into Minnesota.
Right, so you crossed the state line but didn't start taking your samples until you got into Minnesota. Today, when we're talking during the noon hour here, you are south of Mankato in Good Thunder, Minnesota. What have you seen on your route?
A lot of yellow corn, a lot of, you know, nitrogen loss, a lot of stunted corn. Beans aren't very good from the height standpoint, some grounding out, but uneven corn, you know, nothing tabletop level. You can just tell they've had way too much water stress in this entire route, basically. I mean, one of our low yields we found in one field was 90 bushel for corn, but then we also found some, you know, 190, 200 plus corn too. So it's highly variable. That's about the best way I can put this crop out here right now. Ear depth or kernel depth seems to be on the shallow side. Looks like, you know, fairly light ear, light test weight from too much water out through here. But just, again, I just cannot stress the variability in the fields out here.
And this isn't a small area, because you traveled through the northwestern part of Iowa yesterday and encountered much the same sort of thing, though the yields for Iowa
exactly
weren't terribly bad, and we won't get a final yield for that tonight. But your route across those two parts of Iowa and Minnesota just been really tough. How many stops have you made today?
We have made 9 stops so far. We have a truck average of right at 190 on corn and right at 1,200 on pod count.
Given what the crop looks like and the way you've talked about it, does 190 seem high to you?
Yeah, it does. For our truck, it looks like it would be on the high side. I don't think, you know, it will finish that way when it's all said and done, because we can't take into account the low spots, all the areas, how big of an area of a field where the nitrogen is lost, you know what I mean, where there's going to be some smaller ears. So I don't feel like it'd end up being that good of a crop here in the end on what we've seen.
Do you think the soybean crop, because it generally is an August crop in that area, can manage to come on maybe with more blooms and finish better than what you're seeing?
No, I don't think so. We're not seeing any bloom at this stage. I think what we're seeing out here is what we're going to end up with. It's, the water's there. There's no doubt about that. We've been tracking through mud all the time, but we're just not seeing any more blooms. So, I mean, Chip talked about it last night. I mean, what we have is what we're going to end up with.
How big an area, in your opinion, is this geographically across Minnesota and Iowa?
It's a pretty big area. I mean, mileage-wise, I wouldn't really have an idea, but we have crossed, you know, quite a few big counties, and the counties in Minnesota are pretty large. I mean, we went through three, you know, we're in our fourth county right now, Blue Earth County, and it's just a massive area. And, I mean, I really, you know, haven't seen anything. I mean, the corn is just this neon green color everywhere you look, everywhere. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. Maybe we'll run into something better farther east. But so far, you know, I can't see how you can have a bumper crop or a record crop with this much variability.
Hey, thanks so much. And we'll look forward to having you back on the air in a while, and back home, actually, in Hudsonville, Illinois, by the weekend, I suppose.
Yeah, I'll be flying back tomorrow.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Sherman. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Don.
Sherman Newlin is traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. They'll wrap up the tour this evening and have results for the states of Iowa and Minnesota tonight. I'll post those up to the website at willag.org tonight. And then tomorrow we'll catch up one more time with Brian Grady to get an update on what those final numbers look like. And tomorrow afternoon, Pro Farmer will massage them and come out with their finalized numbers from the tour, which are different than the results of the tour. We'll try to bring some of those to you during the closing market report on Friday afternoon. It's a Thursday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Find us online at willag.org. Mike Tenora is now here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, while we're enjoying the cool weather, sure looks like we'll be warming up and getting stormy over the weekend.
Well, we do have a large warm front that's off to the west, and that's going to sweep through here the next few days. So we'll see temperatures turn a lot warmer than where they have been over the last few days. High temperatures will return to the 80s and 90s, and minimums will return to the 60s and 70s. So overall, around 10 to 15 degrees warmer than it has been over the last couple of days. Along with that, we will see some thunderstorms. Those are beginning this afternoon in parts of Missouri and Kansas, and that's the harbinger of things to come for the next 5 or 6 days. Initially, we'll see scattered thunderstorms across a wide swath of the Corn Belt over the next 2 days. Those will begin in earnest later today and especially from tonight through tomorrow night. Then a possible break on Saturday in parts of the Corn Belt, but overall, we'll see more thunderstorm chances continue all the way through Monday and Tuesday. By the time you add all of this up, we're going to see some fairly hefty totals in northern areas of the Corn Belt, say 1 to 2 inches in parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin, and then tapering to lower amounts of 1/4 inch to 3/4 inch in southern areas of the Corn Belt. So all in all, a pretty decent fetch of rain is going to move on through over the next 4 to 5 days. And again, that begins later today and more so tonight, then on and off all the way into early next week.
Is it the beginning of a wetter, warmer pattern change for the month of September?
Well, that is the big question. We can see that a cool front of some significance will pass Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, but that doesn't look to be part of a large-scale pattern change. Instead, it will simply be a small-scale blip in the overall pattern. Once we get beyond that cool front, it looks like we'll start to warm things up again later at the end of the month and into the first part of September. So overall, we're going to continue to see this same weather pattern where it'll be a lot warmer than it has been. We'll see scattered thunderstorms here and there. Most of those will be favored for areas along and north of Interstate 80. But again, anybody here has a fair chance for some storms, not only, again, over the next 5 days, but this period that follows in 1 to 2 weeks from now. So a pretty wet close to the growing season for a lot of soybean farmers, and a pretty warm one for the corn and the soybean farmers, for that matter.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd. You have a great day.
You too. Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. There tonight, you'll find an update, by the way, of the Pro Farmer Minnesota and Iowa numbers as they're released later tonight. And prior to that, maybe by about 5 to 6 o'clock, we should have posted our Commodity Week program. Our panelists this week will include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, along with Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. That's online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.